Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
To be or not to be, that is the question. We all know that line, right? I mean, we learned it in school somewhere. Bugs Bunny probably said it somewhere. I'm sure SpongeBob may have quoted it at some point in time, but to be or not to be, that is the question. It's one of the most famous lines in the history of the English language, and it's from Shakespeare's play Hamlet, and it's one of those moments in time where in the play, if you've ever read Hamlet or seen Hamlet performed, Hamlet is actually contemplating suicide. You know, that's the context behind, you know, if you go out and you look at the imagery online of to be or not to be, it's of a man standing there holding a skull, you know. But we're not here today to talk about dying. We're not here today to talk about dying. Today I want to talk to you about living. I want to talk to us this morning about being. I want to talk to us this morning about thriving. And I want to talk to us this morning about becoming everything that God has in store for you. You see, there's this whole bucket of potential that each and every one of us have within inside of us. There's this seed, this kernel of potential. And if we fuel it, if we commit to it, God wants to bring that seed of potential, that kernel of potential, to new life within each and every one of us. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because you see, too often, many of us settle for a life of mediocrity. We settle. We settle for a life of mediocrity, for mediocrity in our lives. We settle for way less than God's best, what God intends for us in our personal lives. Okay, we settle for God's less, for less than God's best in our personal lives. But I want to also challenge us this morning to realize that we also can be guilty of settling for God's best in our corporate life as a church. You know, the corporate life of our church is actually just a representation of your individual and my individual lives all together here at Maplewood. We sometimes are tempted to settle for God's less than God's best in our personal lives or the corporate life of the church. And you know, we'll blame our personal circumstances. I just go down the list this morning, right? Oh, I'm just not able to do that because I've got X, Y, or Z going on. We make a lot of excuses. We blame our health or our age. I've aged out. You don't age out of this calling of Christ in our lives. Or my health, Lord, it's a limitation. Or maybe I've got some sort of physical limitation. Or maybe we blame our upbringing. We blame our parents. Well, I was just brought up that way. Or maybe we blame the government. Yeah, that's really popular these days to blame. We can't do that. Well, you know, we'll blame the government. Maybe we blame the pandemic. We blame the virus as being limiting to us being able to fully live into God's best for our lives. We do it all to rationalize in our brains why we have settled for way less than God's best. I'm here to challenge us this morning. I'm here to push you a little more this morning. I'm here to poke us all a little this morning and maybe some of those tender spots. Are we settling for less than God's best in our life? Are you settling for less than God's best in your life? It's not His will for His people or for the Church of Jesus Christ to settle. You know, settle, it just kind of sounds negative, doesn't it? I've settled. You know, I've given, that means surrender. I've just given up. I'm not going to try anymore. But church, I'm here to tell us this morning, we are not called to simply exist. We are not called to simply just survive through all the stuff that we're going through in our lives. We are called to be transformed from old dry bones into new creations. That's what you are called to do in your life. That's not just a pastor's calling. That's the calling for anyone who claims to be a true follower of Jesus. We are called to become. We are called to be the church.
Amen.
Amen, Lala. That's right. We are called to be the church. The word be, that's a verb. To be, it's a verb's act. Verbs get after it. Verbs are filled with energy and vitality. To be is to do. It's active. To be is to truly live. Yeah, because sometimes our routines that we're going through every day, and it's, you know, we're keeping everything just kind of calm and not, no waves, Pastor, no waves. But sometimes that's not truly living. That's just settling. To be is packed with so much potential. To be is so much more. I want us to see this morning, to be is so much more than simply existing and getting up every morning and doing the same thing every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, come to church on Sunday and then go do it all over again. God is calling us to so much more than just simply exist. And as we continue to plow through whatever we're calling this these days, global pandemic persists, but as we continue to plow through all this and as Maplewood positions itself to be effective and live into our mission here in Springfield, I think it's really appropriate for us to take a little bit of time as a body and step back and ask the question, what does it mean to be the church? What does it mean to be the church? Now, over the past couple of months, you may think I'm crazy in the way we do our sermon series, but there's an arc of logic that has the Lord's been kind of leading me on over the past several months. And we've been setting the table up for this discussion about what it means to truly be the church. You'll remember early back in May, June, and part of July, we were establishing that now more than ever, we, the church, need to be focused not just on saving souls, but on helping to make people be whole. Remember, we talked about what it means not only to be holy in heart, but to help people become whole. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. God's will is for us to be holy and whole. His will is for us to be whole and holy. And we spent some time talking about that. It's about the whole person. It's not just about the spiritual angle. As a church, we need to be about making people whole and holy. And over the past month, we've really been focusing in, exploring what it means when we ask Jesus to give us kingdom vision. Help me put my kingdom goggles on. You know, you remember the 3D glasses? You know, the red screen and the blue screen, and you'd sit down in the theater and you put the paper glasses on, and all of a sudden, everything would come to life. And I think that that's what we're asking God to do when we ask Him to give us kingdom vision, and we focused on that song and those lyrics. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I've been missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your heart for the brokenhearted, the ones who are far beyond my reach. And give me a love for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. There's a reason I tied those concepts to a song, because you will remember that sermon series probably 3 years from now when you hear that song. And you'll remember every point that we talked about in that sermon series. But it's all part of getting us ready for what God needs to do through Maplewood and in our lives. So now that we've heightened our awareness to the spiritual needs and opportunities around us and the need to develop kingdom vision, Maplewood, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to begin focusing on the top priorities I believe the Lord is calling us to focus on so that we can make sure we are spiritually healthy. Restore us, oh Lord. That was the prayer we entered into the service with this morning. We need to be spiritually healthy, and we're going to focus on the things that help us get there. And I think as we become more spiritually healthy, we need to be positioning ourselves as a church to be prepared to become poised to grow as a church. There's spiritual need out there. There's opportunity. There is kingdom ground for Maplewood to take. Do you believe that this morning? There's kingdom ground. There's growth opportunity in front of us, and we're going to focus on how to get there through the lens of what it means to be the church. There's no better model to follow when it comes to being the church than the early church itself. They didn't have a manual back in the early church. You know, we've got the Nazarene manual, and somebody spent a lot of time, they spend a lot of time thinking about those words they put in that manual. And there are Facebook groups. I see people arguing about those words every day out in Facebook groups, and what does this mean, blah, 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 blah. They didn't have any of that. Back in the early church, they didn't have a playbook. They didn't have best practices or websites that they could tap into and to how they could grow their church. But they were growing in leaps and bounds. In the early church, men and women and children, they were accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. The Holy Spirit was on the move. Revival was breaking out. Revival was breaking out. And note that in the early church, it was all happening under less than ideal conditions. Oh, well, we'll be able to grow, Pastor, when we do X, Y, and Z, and then we'll be poised to really take off then. Or we need X, Y, and Z over here. We need to look like this church over here and in order for us to be able to make a difference in the world. Those are the things that we say today. But, you know, we're always talking about when things are ideal, we'll be able to grow. Well, the early church was blowing the walls open in terms of growth. They were just going without any ideal conditions whatsoever. They didn't even have a building. They didn't have a building. The early church, they were under persecution. People wanted to put them in jail. Some of them died. Some of them were executed because of their faith. They didn't have the technology that we enjoy. You know, we have this technology that's helped us over the last year. They didn't have any of that. They didn't have the culture working for them. You know, we live in a post-Christian culture, but it's still easier to be a Christian in the United States today than it was back then. We have a freedom of religion still in this country. They didn't have any of that. They didn't have the New Testament. You know, when you think about the New Testament books and all the wisdom and all the time we spend and the Gospels and the Epistles, they didn't have any of that. They were living the New Testament. They were the story was being written through their lives day in, day out. They were living the New Testament, figuring out what it meant to be a part of God's kingdom. They were living every day, figuring out what it meant to help build the kingdom of God. And so, you know, you look at that and you're like, what did they have that was so special? What was their secret? What was the secret to what was going on in the early church? And they do. They have a number of lessons to teach us. So I would love for us this morning to jump into our Wayback Machine. And let's go back in time. We've got this cartoon theme going on this morning. So we'll get on the Wayback Machine this morning. And let's jump back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. It was Pentecost. The Holy Spirit had been poured out in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 43, the people are responding to the movement of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Spirit's breaking out on Pentecost and in the aftermath of Pentecost. And it says, those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added that day. Could you imagine if we had an altar call and we had 3,000 people saved? You know, we're talking about Revive Ohio coming to Springfield, and we're talking about praying revival into our community with other churches across our community. Wow, do we have a vision of maybe the high school football stadium filled with people, a service, an outdoor air service, a Billy Graham kind of thing where 3,000 people in Springfield come to the Lord in one service? Wouldn't that be awesome? Do we have that type of vision? Do we have that type of ambition? Not only individually, but as collective, a collective church. In our community, it was happening in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 were addressed, were added to their number that day. And then it goes on in verse 42 to say, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. They had been restored. Their cups were filled. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. You know, so we look at this, we look at the context of just revival breaking out. What does a growing body of believers do? What does it mean to be the church? I think we find a couple of answers here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It's going to serve as kind of the outline for what we're going to be focusing on over the next month or so. All right? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And they devoted themselves to prayer. Four key elements that they were really, four essentials that they were focused in on. It would be easy for me to just really quickly run through those four things this morning and be done with it. You know? We could hit on all of them, but I think we miss the instructive value as a church body. And so we're going to go deep over the next couple of weeks. There is a lot packed in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 with regard to what it means to be the church. And it's a lot more, folks, than just showing up on Sunday morning at 10:30 in person or online. Thank you for the amen back there. You have showed up. You get a sticker for that. Everybody gets a sticker these days, right? We all get stickers. That's part of it, but it's not all of it. It's a lot more than just showing up on Sunday morning. So here's the ground. I'm just going to lay the ground for you that we're going to cover over the next couple of weeks. Next week we're going to focus on what it means to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. What does it mean to be devoted to the apostles' teaching? Pastor Ed is going to preach the message next Sunday. We've never done this before. We were tag teaming the series with our pastoral staff. And so Pastor Ed is going to be bringing the message next week. And as I was thinking about this and we were talking about this, you know, Pastor Ed's going to be bringing the message because he's going to be exploring that to be the church means that we need to become a student of the Word. We need to become a student. We need to be a student of the Word. All of us need to be a student of the Word. And Pastor Ed is going to be talking about what that means. And what better individual than to bring that message than Pastor Ed, because he's actually pursuing his ordination in the Church of the Nazarene. He's actually studying. Ed is our lead student in the congregation right now. But I'm not saying you need to go through the ordination process. But what I am saying is that we all need to be committed to being students of God's Word if we are to fully live into what it means to be the church. Jesus said he had so much more to teach us. We talked about that last Sunday. And we're going to learn what it means to be a student. Then the week after that, we're going to focus on what it means to be devoted to fellowship. What it means to be devoted to fellowship. Pastor Vicki is going to bring us that message in 2 weeks. And she is going to explore that to be the church means that all of us need to be a friend. Amen. Amen. We all need to be a friend. And she's going to dig into what that means. What it means to be a friend. Fellowship. It's so much more than, hey, how you doing, before or after the service, or potlucks or food trucks. It's so much more. That's all great, but what it means to be devoted to the fellowship means so much more. And then in early October, I'm going to come back and focus on what it means to be devoted to prayer. All of us, we need to be a student. We need to be a friend. And we're going to be spending some time exploring what it means to be devoted to prayer. To be the church means that we all, not some, we all need to be a prayer warrior. We all need to be a prayer warrior. And we're going to talk about the importance of prayer. And we're even going to revisit some methods on how to beef up your prayer life, okay? We're going to give you practical stuff as well as, you know, just kind of telling you what you should do. But give you some practical exercises on what we can do. Prayer is a skill we all need to master. if we're going to move past merely existing and becoming who God wants us to be. And then on the final week of that series, Pastor Vicky, Pastor Ed, and I will all come together. We've never done this before, but we're going to all come together and we're going to tag team on October 10th, and we're going to talk about what it means to be devoted to the breaking of bread. And we're not just going to be talking about communion or potlucks or anything like that. We're going to be talking about, we're going to be learning about, to be the church means that we all need to be a worshiper. We all need to be devoted to worship in our lives. All of these things are critical aspects of what it means to be the church. So this is what's coming over the next couple of weeks. Because you see, the church can't be the church if we're not all living all those priorities. We've all got to be on the same page. We've got to commit to some simple things in our individual lives so that the corporate life can come alive, so that we can be the church. If we want to be an Acts 2:42 church, we all have to become Acts 2:42 people. And if you want to be reminded about what we're focusing on, just go to Acts 2:42. We want to become Acts 2:42 people. And it all starts, all of it starts, the context in which Acts 2:42 is happening, the context in which it starts includes one key ingredient. In order to be the church, we each need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not a club. This is not a self-help program. The thing that distinguishes who we are and what we are from AA or some self-help program or Jenny Craig or you name it, to be the church, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The church cannot be absent the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2:42, people were coming to Jesus in droves, not because they had the best music. They were coming to Jesus in droves, not because they had the nicest, most modern building and technology. They were coming to Jesus in droves, not because they had the best children's program. All those things are nice, but people were coming to Jesus not for those things. They were coming because the Holy Spirit was on the move amongst the church, in the midst of the church. And they found that the secret to perpetuating the presence of the Holy Spirit, was found in becoming a student of the Word. Perpetuating the presence of the Holy Spirit was found in being a friend. Not only to those people you like, but maybe to strangers and people you don't like. Pastor Vicky's little message to the kids this morning. They found the secret to perpetuating the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life was partly related to being a prayer warrior. And they found that perpetuating the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church was found in being a person of worship. Perpetuating the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, folks, we may become at a point in our life filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never leaves people. People leave the Holy Spirit. Amen. People step out of the grace of the Holy Spirit. God does not interfere with our free will, but there are things that we can do, not to become rituals, but there are things that we can do to perpetuate the presence of the Spirit in our lives. These people in Acts chapter 2 weren't satisfied with simply existing. They were hungry for it. They had a desire. They were willing, and they were being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't ever want to be part of a church that is simply existing. Amen? I don't ever want to just be going through the motions. Maplewood, we have an opportunity in front of us. We are on the front lines of opportunity for the kingdom here in Springfield. We have a unique opportunity in front of us as we emerge into whatever the new normal is out of this pandemic. We are uniquely suited to reach a certain segment of Springfield through the relationships you have and through the culture of our church. To be the church or not to be the church, that is the question for us this morning. We're not called to simply exist. We are not called to just keep going through the same old routine and atrophy into nothing. We are not called, Maplewood, to die off. Amen? We are not called to do that. We are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can become who God has intended for us to be. And that road may not be easy. It may not be easy. Are you ready for a bit of an adventure? Are you ready for an adventure? Lala is. Yeah, I am too. Because it's going to be a ride. There are going to be hard days. There's going to be great days. But the Lord is going to walk with us moving forward through this. There are going to be obstacles in front of us. There were obstacles in front of the Acts 2:42 church. Amen? But yet the Spirit moved and the church grew. God is calling His people to rise up. God is calling us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be the church. And He's provided us the tools we need to perpetuate the presence of His Spirit in our lives. Tools are useless if they just sit in the toolbox. I've got a lot of tools in my garage. I don't know how to use any of them, Adam. Yeah, give me a wrench. You know, give me some pliers. Give me a screwdriver. You know, I'm not really skilled with any of them. I can hold the light. My dad taught me how to hold the light, and that's about as far as my skills go. If I put a screwdriver in my hand, it feels so awkward. I don't know how to use it. The Lord has provided us with tools to perpetuate the presence of His Spirit in our lives. You have the tools in the toolbox. The next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about getting more comfortable with using those tools. Because maybe, you know, this book's really hard to understand. It feels awkward when I read it. Pastor, I don't get it. That's okay. That's why you're a student. You know, when I pray, I don't know how to pray. It feels weird. It feels like I'm talking to myself. I just feel strange. That's okay. That's part of learning to be a person of prayer. When I worship, it makes me feel kind of weird when people raise their hands and I don't know if I should do that. I don't know what worship is. And you know, that's okay. It's part of learning what it means to worship. And man, I'm just so awkward with people. Pastor, do I really need to be a friend to somebody? Do I really need to do that? I would rather be my introverted self and not have to interact with anybody. No, it's okay. That's what it means to be a disciple, to be a student of the Word. So as we're just going along through this series, we're wrapping up here in like a minute, okay? But my final challenge for you, I want you to be asking the Lord as you walk out of here this morning and this week in your prayer life, in your devotional life, I want you to be asking God to grade you on how you are presently doing using these tools. How are you doing when it comes to being a student of the Word? If you had to grade yourself, if somebody else had to grade you on, if they got an eye into your habits in terms of your study of the Word, what grade would they give you today? Be objective, be fair. It's okay. You got to start from somewhere, right? You got to start somewhere. Grade yourself. Lord, grade me on how well am I at being a friend? How well am I at being a friend? How well am I, Lord, how would I grade myself at worship? Do I have a heart of worship? How's my prayer life? How do I do in my prayer? Because those are the things that are going to be critical for us to lean into if we are to be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.